Welcome to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm your host, Megan Kamrick. Have you visited the Rio Grande del Norte National Monument near Taos or the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks National Monument near Las Cruces? Those are among the 27 national monuments now under review by the U.S. Department of Interior. President Trump signed an executive order aimed at monuments more than 100,000 acres created after 1996 under the Antiquities Act. President Trump said the monuments, quote, put millions of acres of land and water under strict federal control, and he called them a massive federal land grab. This could mean removing protections for these wild areas. Advocates say the monument designation protects resources and boosts tourism in rural regions, but some are worried about what land use restrictions mean for rural economies that are struggling. The public can submit comments to the Interior Department on the monuments through July 10th. On today's show, we'll talk about the creation of these monuments in New Mexico, how they came about, and what the National Monument designation means. Do you think we need these restrictions or protections on land in New Mexico? Are you concerned about what federal control means for local communities trying to build their economies? How do we balance protecting natural resources with economic growth? You can call 877-899-5866 or email callinshow at kunm.org. Joining us today in the studio is Michael Kasaus. He's the New Mexico State Director for the Wilderness Society. Also here is Karen Cowan. She's Executive Director of the New Mexico Cattle Growers Association. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
And very soon we will have Representative Steve Pierce on the phone. Michael, let me start with you. Why create monuments in the first place? And why have presidents used the Antiquities Act to do this? And why is it controversial?
Well, the Antiquities Act, which was passed by Congress in 1906, gave the president, a sitting president, the authority to protect historic landmarks, historic and prehistoric structures and other objects of historic and scientific interest. It's one of our most important conservation laws for the preservation of our public lands. Historically, the Antiquities Act has been a bipartisanly supported effort. 16 presidents in our history have designated national monuments, 8 Democrats, 8 Republicans. 12 national monuments in New Mexico have been designated as national monuments under the Antiquities Act, and those include White Sands National Monument, Bandelier, the Cliff Dwellings, Tent Rocks, Carlsbad Caverns, and several others. So this is an important conservation tool that we believe is important to protect. There are attacks right now in the U.S. Congress on the Antiquities Act, and we think that effort is better spent on other things that Americans care more about.
What does the designation mean in terms of, like, what is it trying to protect?
Well, it depends on the particular area, Again, these are areas of scientific and historic interest. So there are historic landmarks that could be protected by this. I think for the Wilderness Society, one of the most important aspects of national monuments is that they protect, they prevent large-scale industrial development of our most precious public lands. They prevent oil and gas drilling. They prevent mining and other extractive uses. So I think those are the main reasons that that we support the Antiquities Act and national monuments is to prevent our most special places from those types of activities.
Now, how long ago were the efforts started on the two we're talking about today, the Rio Grande del Norte and the Oregon Mountains?
Well, gosh, the efforts to protect the landscapes in northern New Mexico, which is now the Rio Grande del Norte National Monument, those efforts began in earnest in the late 1980s. In 1991, former Congressman Bill Richardson actually introduced legislation to protect these critical landscapes. But the effort in earnest to protect the area began in the early 2000s. In southern New Mexico, the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks, interest in protecting that landscape actually began in the 1960s, shortly after the passage of the Wilderness Act of 1964. But in that particular case, the Wilderness Society and our colleagues began a campaign to protect that landscape around 2004. So since that time, I mean, these are campaigns that were decades long in the making, included extensive stakeholder interviews, community meetings. We're talking hundreds of community meetings with important stakeholders in both of those areas. So the end product we're very proud of. The communities are extremely proud of, because it did take a lot of compromise, and that was a result of that broad and deep community input into the process.
Also here is Karen Cowan. She's executive director of the New Mexico Cattle Growers Association. Karen, your members are concerned primarily about the Oregon Mountains Monument. They want to rescind the monument designation, or do they want it to be smaller, and why?
Our members in the Las Cruces area are extremely concerned about this, and they have come up with a proposal to shrink the size of the monument, which we support. We would also, the New Mexico Cattle Growers would also support just rescinding the monument. Probably the climate that we're in it right now is looking more at reducing the size substantially. As Michael pointed out, monuments are structures or, you know, specific areas. And, you know, when you do something that's hundreds of thousands of acres, what are you really protecting? And that's one of our concerns, is that the Oregon Mountains Monument has been in place for 3 years, yet we don't have a list of what's being protected yet. We don't have a management plan. Nobody knows what this means. And I don't know anybody that is opposed to preserving and maintaining individual structures or special sites. But when you take the sweeping broad brush and take hundreds of thousands of acres that people don't even know what they're protecting or have any idea what they want to protect, that's where our concerns come in.
Now, there's been pushback across the West on the creation of some of these monuments, especially in Utah. Is this opposition, which your members are part of, based on restricting access to these areas, or is it more about how the designations were done, the whole process?
It's both. With the Oregon Mountains, we don't have a management plan. And so somebody says, well, is grazing restricted? We don't know that. Those ranching families, and there's, I don't know, around 100 of them, I think, are living in limbo at this point in time. They have ranches that they've financed. If they can't continue to graze there, we're looking at significant losses for people and a huge hit to the rural economy.
And Michael, unlike other types of designations, such as wilderness, and I heard you saying when former Governor Richardson was in Congress, he was pushing legislation around this. There's no requirement for public input, actually, under the Antiquities Act when presidents designate it. It sounds like there has been input in this process, but that seems problematic if we're using the Antiquities Act designation. That's how I read the law.
Well, I think it behooves a president to gather as much input and information as possible in order to make an informed decision. And President Obama did that with the two monuments in New Mexico, in addition to the Bears Ears National Monument in Utah. And I think maybe in the past, when there was less emphasis on community engagement, we know that over the past several decades, that conservation campaigns can only be successful when there's broad and deep community support for these monuments. And that is why we worked so hard over literally decades to ensure that all stakeholders were at the table, all voices were heard, including ranching voices. You know, Karen mentioned that they don't know if grazing's allowed. Grazing is allowed. It's actually written into the president's proclamation declaring the national monument. There is no uncertainty about grazing in either national monument. They're both allowed. They both continue unimpaired and unaffected to date.
But you're saying the details are still, Karen,
exactly.
your folks feel like the devil's in the details,
I guess. Devil's in the details, and we don't believe there was any compromise. We totally disagree on that. And the ability to graze is, you know, is in question in both places. The State Land Office and the Bureau of Land Management are looking at a land trade in the Del Norte Monument to get state land out of the monument designation so that it can be managed by the State Land Office and grazing can continue. So, you know, there's a lot of details here that, aren't figured out. We didn't see compromise as we went through. And something else that we found is that when you say that grazing may continue rather than shall continue, okay, it makes a huge difference. And once these designations, you know, come along, suddenly somebody finds an endangered species someplace. And while it may not be the designation itself that removes the grazing and other productive uses, we'll find an endangered species that'll do that for us.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show, and we are talking about national monuments. Are you a business owner near the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks National Monument or the Rio Grande del Norte Monument? Has the creation of the monuments had an impact on you or the local economy? Are you worried about more federal restrictions on the land? Join our conversation by calling 866-899-5866 or email callinshow@kunm.org. We do have a caller from Las Cruces. Lucas, you wanted to say something about the monument in your area, the Oregon Mountains?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me on the show. I just wanted to emphasize how important the monument is to people in our region and address the sort of disingenuous thought process behind saying that there's not a management plan. The local district office, the Las Cruces District Office, is responsible for nearly 3 million acres of BLM land and is currently working on a tri-county resource management plan, an RMP, that has been unresolved in one way or another since the 1980s. So the assertion that 3 years into the monument plan not having an RMP is completely ludicrous. The Trackways National Monument, also in Doñana County, was formed in 2009, and they didn't have an RMP until, you know, 2 years ago. So it takes it takes time, and in that process, all the stakeholders are welcome to come to the table and have a conversation about how the land is used. And so that's an ongoing process, and it's happening now. And so the hard work that people have put in for literally decades on creating this national monument that does protect very specific things that are listed and are spelled out in the proclamation, that work is extremely important, protects cultural resources that are vital to our region, does improve our economy. We're already seeing that, and in no way disallows the things people are saying it does. So I just want to reemphasize that point from down here as a member of the community that helps helps create this and also enjoys, you know, utilizing these spaces almost every weekend.
Thank you very much, Lucas. I just want to correct, I gave out the wrong phone number. It's 877-899-5866. That's how you can join our conversation today about the national monuments. And we are waiting to get Representative Pierce on the line. He is in a committee hearing this morning. But right now in the studio, we have Michael Kasaus, who's State Director of the Wilderness Society, and Karen Cowan, Executive Director of the Cattle Growers Association. Karen, do you want to address what Lucas was just saying?
Well, it may be ludicrous to Lucas because he's not living on the land and trying to make a living and
no,
taking
we
care
don't
of
know
them.
That for sure.
Well, exactly, but he certainly didn't make that clear in his comments. You know, it's fine to go recreate on weekends, but the people who are caring for the land are there day in and day out, and they're the ones that are living with the uncertainty. And, you know, I just flatly disagree.
So I know that obviously your members rely on the land to make a living, and so presumably they want to protect the land. So do they? What is an alternative to what is happening with the monument for protecting this landscape?
Well, I think that the landscape is protected and has been by generations, largely by the ranching community. That land wouldn't be available to have these discussions about had it not been well cared for. And most of our, you know, a lot of our members are multi-generation people who have been on the land. They've cared for those things, so we appreciate those resources just like anyone else does. But to throw them into this uncertainty and, you know, what happens to their future. And, you know, I often use this as an example, but if you have a choice, do you go to a public restroom or do you go to a private restroom? And, you know, I said, given the choice. So when we make lands public, we're, you know, more public, if you will, and take away the uses of the land that have protected it for generations, what are we asking for the land to look like when we get done?
Michael, to that point, is it enough to rely on people who have taken care of the land, who need the land to be in good shape, to make a living, to protect these places, as Karen is arguing?
Well, I think one thing that's getting lost in this conversation is that there are ranchers who are very supportive of both national monuments, not only ranchers, but private landowners. The largest private landowner within the Rio Grande del Norte National Monument supports keeping the monument as is. Several ranchers who have permits within the Rio Grande del Norte National Monument support continuing the monument as is. So there's no uniformity among the ranching community on this issue. I think it's very clear that not only do the ranching community have connections to the land, but the Latino community has strong connections to these lands. Our Native American brothers and sisters have strong connections to these lands. And that's why I think this executive order is an assault on both of those communities. Native Americans' history is literally written on these lands. Their connection to these lands go back literally thousands of years, and they fought so very hard for many decades to ensure that their cultural and sacred sites are protected from looting and vandalism. The Latino community, which I'm a proud member of, also has strong connections to these lands over hundreds of years. You know, for the first time in our nation's history, a national monument was designated in 2012 to honor the legacy and contributions of the Latino community. And that was when President Obama designated the Cesar Chavez National Monument. Really, you know, it took that long to actually recognize that Latinos contribute to the history of the United States and that we have strong connections to the land. There are places and landmarks within both monuments. The Sierra de la, in the southern New Mexico, we have the Robledos, the Potrillos, the Sierra de las Uvas. In northern New Mexico, we have Cerro del Yuta, Rio San Antonio. These are important historic landmarks that are so important to the Latino community, and that's why I view this executive order as an insult and extremely disrespectful to our communities.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. We'll be right back to talk about the future of national monuments.
The law firm of Rothstein Donatelli is committed to supporting KUNM. Since 1976, the firm has litigated Native American law, criminal defense, wrongful death, and civil rights in New Mexico and nationwide. Info at rothsteinlaw.com.
If you have clear skies tonight, what appears to be the brightest star is actually the planet Jupiter. A century ago, English composer Gustav Holst looked at the night sky, thought about what it means, and turned it into music. Jupiter and More of the Planets by Gustav Holst on the next Performance Today from APM.
Weekday mornings at 9 on KUNM.
This week in This American Life, I have no idea what gave me the confidence as a 12-year-old to take some books out of the Baltimore County Public Library about magic, put together a show, and then just start advertising to perform at kids' birthday parties. I did magic shows for years, and so did one of the producers on our radio program, David Kestenbaum. And this week, he and I dive back into that world to learn all kinds of things that we never knew about as kid magicians.
Sundays at 4 on KUNM.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Megan Kamrick, and today we're talking about national monuments. President Trump issued an executive order calling for a review of more than two dozen, including two in New Mexico. Do you live near the Rio Grande del Norte National Monument or the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks National Monument? What changes have you seen since these were created? Call 877-899-5866 or email callinshow@kunm.org. And right now we have U.S. Representative Steve Pierce on the line. He's a Republican representing the district that includes the Oregon Mountain Desert Peaks National Monument. Representative Pierce, I know you can only join us briefly, so thank you very much. Why do you think we need this review right now of some monuments?
Well, the footprint established was much larger than is allowed, and it is counterproductive to creating jobs in the area.
most of the rural economy of New Mexico is around the agriculture sector. So this 600,000 acres rather than the 60,000 acres, some of the monument is 20 miles away from the original designation, that is the Oregon Mountains. So we had a bill in that would take the smaller footprint. We're saying that that was really the compromise position. We had some groups that didn't want a designation at all. Some people wanted the big, expansive footprint. So what the president is doing is reviewing to see if it is, in fact, going to be productive or counterproductive to the overall economy of the county. So that's it. There are also restrictions in law. Anytime a president designates a monument, he has to declare exactly what the issue to be protected is, and then use the smallest footprint available. Obviously, 600,000 versus 60,000 was not the smallest footprint.
You gave Secretary Ryan Zinke, the Interior Secretary, a list of 800 businesses you said oppose the monument as it is today. Give us an idea who the opponents are and why they feel this monument is hurting their business and the economy.
Well, just basically, they say that anything that lowers the economy and the county as a whole is going to hurt them. There's just Main Street businesses along through Las Cruces, a wide array from plumbers to house builders to whoever. And they signed up over a period of years saying, wait, this is going to be destructive. They've seen that the more restrictive the designation is, in other words, monument is not the most restrictive, but wilderness would be the most impactful to the economy. So they've seen in the past that ranching, those rural economies, end up decreasing rather than increasing. So it's just businesses who are concerned about that.
On the other hand, Albuquerque Business First and KRWG, have reported that many businesses are supporting the monument because it's boosting tourism to the area. How has that factored into your take on those?
Well, the tourism that is quoted in the most recent article are in three sites that it would actually be protected by my particular bill, the Dripping Springs, the Gwary Springs, and Soledad Canyon. Those are all protected under my bill. So the tourism would not be affected at all.
Is that your bill to increase public access to federal lands? Is that the bill you're talking about?
No. The bill that I had to create the monument originally, again, the compromise bill said some people don't want one, some people want the huge. At one point, it was up close to 1 million acres. And I'm saying, wait, we can't affect the economy. We do want to protect the Oregon Mountains. Let's go the small footprint. Let's have the most protection, the least impact, the least negative effect on the economy. And so that bill is the one that I'm talking about. It's even when the Democrats had the total control of the House, the Senate, they had a filibuster-proof Senate, they would not pass this big monument because I think everyone feared the consequences at the ballot box. There was no reason otherwise not to do it because it had been a big, broad discussion for almost a decade before then. So that's just the indicator that the broad support was much less than what was ever said. The idea that we're getting tourism, I've gone out into some of these distributed areas away from the Oregon Mountains with ranchers on the Potrillos, ranchers where Las Uvas are, and we've sat during the whole day. We've been doing work. But also their comment is watch for any vehicular traffic. There's absolutely no indication that people are driving around now and coming in from out of state to look at these distributed parts. The three parks, or the three portions that, again, are referred to for tourism are ones that are protected under my bill and would be included in my bill.
I have a question for you that came in from a listener who emailed it from Las Cruces. Gabe asks, the GOP has historically valued local control, local input, and local decision-making. The city of Las Cruces and Doña Ana County Commission have both approved strong resolutions in favor of keeping the Oregon Mountains Desert Peak Monument as it is. He wants to know how that local support will fit into your conversations with Secretary Zinke when he comes to New Mexico, which apparently he plans to do.
Well, again, I would measure the fact that when Nancy Pelosi controlled the House, when Mr. Reid controlled the Senate, and Mr. Obama's in the White House, and they had a filibuster-proof Senate, the Republicans couldn't block anything. This issue was very much on the docket, and they refused to pass it because they understood the local support was not there. So that's always my response, that that we've been engaged in the issue for about 10 years. We're pretty familiar with the way the local population is, and that viewpoint was affirmed when Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid controlled the House and the Senate, and they didn't even make an attempt to do this.
I also wanted to take one of our listeners who's holding, it's the CEO of the Green Chamber of Commerce. Carrie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
I have you on the phone with Representative Pierce. What did you want to say since we're talking about economic impacts in business?
Well, I have to respectfully disagree with the congressman, because in Las Cruces, not only do we have businesses that have started because of the monument, one business in particular called Oregon Mountain Outfitters, they sell shirts, and $2 from every single piece of apparel that they sell, they give back to helping support school lunches. This business was started just because of the monument. When we talk about home builders not benefiting from the monument or being concerned about that, we have a local home builder who cites that he has had $4 million in sales from homes, high-quality homes, built because they're close to the monument. Realtors here use the monument in their descriptions of their listings. They say this house is 15 minutes from the monument. Not only when we're talking about the Oregon Mountains, because that is the most noticeable part of the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks National Monument. However, the thing that concerns me about resizing the monument and removing the outlying areas that the congressman is referring to, what's happening is that there are aerial sites that have been used by the Air Force in Deming for target practice. That's part of our cultural history. There are thousands of native sites out in the Uvas. The thing that worries me is that the idea of resizing it, I would hate to see an Applebee's or a warehouse or an industrial park out there to replace these sites that are so vital to our state's cultural history. And when we talk about Kilburn Hole and Aiden Crater, just this last year we had our inaugural Monuments to Main Street Month, which is what we have now. For it's an annual thing that our visitor center is also willing to spend money on to help advertise. We had helicopter tours out there. We have the opportunity to capitalize on this, not only economically, but also to bring people to the community.
Okay.
And yes, we can't track all of that yet out into the outlying areas because we don't have the resources.
Okay. Carrie, thank you so much. Congressman, I know you don't have much time. Do you want to respond?
Sure, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I would invite Carrie to take me out and show me where the $4 million homes are in the Portrillos, for instance. I don't think he's going to find any. The helicopter tours, I will go out and I will look at the records if he will accompany me, and we'll look at the records of how many tours that they are actually conducting. Myself, having a background in aviation, I do not believe that any helicopter tour outfit is going to make a living touring Las Uvas or touring the Aiden Crater, any of those. I'm all in favor of supporting them. If the president wanted to protect those, they should have been separate monument designations instead of putting them in with the Oregons. Again, the law says you can protect with the smallest footprint if it's a presidential designation. If it's a congressional designation, you can do what you want to do. So Kerry would have to answer why the Democratic Congress with the House, Senate, and the White House chose not to do this if it has all the public support. Again, I believe that the idea of right-sizing this thing would be more productive for the local economy than what he is talking about.
No, it's she, actually. But I just wanted to ask you.
Excuse me.
So that's okay.
Yep.
I know you have to go, Representative Pierce. Before you leave, can you give us any update on when Secretary Zinke might be coming here?
Well, we've asked that question. I don't have an exact date yet. We'll make that available when we know it. But they have not written it into their schedule yet. Sometime, I think, before the end of August is my guess.
Okay. Representative Steve Pierce, I know you have a committee hearing this morning. I appreciate you taking time to join us for this conversation.
Thanks. Always appreciate it. Yes.
Thank you very much. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Megan Kamrick. We're talking about national monuments this morning. And you can join the conversation by calling 877-899-5866 or email callinshow@kunm.org. And we're joined now by phone, Ben Gabriel. He is the executive director of Friends of the Organ Mountains Desert Peaks. And I think we also have Rafael Shorty Gomez. He's a member of the Isleta del Sur Pueblo. Good morning.
Good morning.
Ben, we just heard from Representative Pierce, and he was echoing concerns that our guest here in the studio, Karen Cowan, talked about with the Cattle Growers Association, who felt perhaps their concerns weren't heard. And he makes an interesting point that even when the Democrats had more power in Congress, a wilderness designation, which would require a bill to get through Congress, didn't get through for this or the Rio Grande del Norte. So this is why presidents often use the Antiquities Act designation. Talk about the process for getting public input before this monument was created.
Yeah, again, as Michael Casals had mentioned earlier, this has been a decades-long campaign that involved various stakeholders. You know, as Congressman Pierce mentioned, the original proposal was from the citizens was 600,000. That is not an accurate statement. The new national monument is 496,330 acres. That was a compromise made through working with Border Patrol and working with various agencies to look at the national monument footprint that does protect the smallest amount. There are tremendous amount of resources in the Potrillos, in the Las Uvas, and so all those things were taken into consideration and were adapted to get the national monument that we have today.
Rafael Gomez, tell us about why your community, Isleta del Sur Pueblo near El Paso, has been involved in the Organ Mountains Desert Peaks Monument. Why is it important to your community?
Well, it's important to us as a Native community, as a Pueblo community, to protect some of this natural beauty that our Creator left us. You know, we believe as Native people, we have a responsibility to stand up for these issues. And Oregon Mountains being so close to where we live, we believe that it was real important to protect these lands.
And were there resources in the monument your Pueblo felt were endangered before there was this monument protection?
Well, what we're concerned is a lot of the pitchergrass and a lot of the wildlife and animal life that they'd be protected that way, you know, and for our kids, our future generations, that they may also have the opportunity to go out there and visit these sites.
And what do you feel about in terms of input and consultation before the monument? Were you involved in that? Do you feel like there was a lot of that going on?
I believe there was more than adequate. There was public meetings of senators, trips to Washington, Secretary Hughes came down. I mean, there was more opportunity that everybody had. And I believe when going to all these meetings and that, the overall community was in total support of having the monument.
Karen, I know you have a different take on that. Did your members participate in these public meetings and giving input?
Absolutely, they did. But it's difficult to have your voice heard when people are bussed in from around the state for these kind of meetings. We agree we're a smaller group than some of the groups that you've had on the radio this morning. But our members have participated, been to every, you know, county commission meeting, every city council meeting. They're just outnumbered and they don't get heard.
Ben, is that fair? Did you guys bus in people from around the state?
I don't think that's accurate that people were bussed in. I think that's, we just had a recent poll done in Las Cruces where over 66% of people in our community support the existing national monument designation. And so people showed up in force when voices were heard. At the county commission meeting that was held earlier this week, there was over 300 people there. 65 people stood up and voiced their concerns and support, with just 15 in opposition. So we have a tremendous amount of people that are not being bussed in, that care about this national monument in our local community.
And Rafael, what do you think about this idea of the monument being smaller, which is one of the compromises proposed?
Personally, I think it should stay the way it is. I think our administration that we have now should respect the wishes of the people and respect the decision that President Obama did.
I want to take some callers. Gabe from Las Cruces wanted to talk about Hispanic history regarding the national monuments. Gabe, what did you want to say?
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, I've been to many of these areas that Congressman Pierce was talking about in the Desert Peaks, the Robledo Mountains, the Potrillos, and the Sierra de las Uvas. And I wanted to point out that the ranching heritage, you know, these 100 or so ranchers within the footprint of the monument, their heritage is important. But what's also important is that we protect our Hispanic and our Native history. Doña Ana County is a population that's 68% Hispanic. So our history lives in these desert peaks, not just the Oregon Mountains. That was the discussion that was actually had at the county commission on Tuesday, which voted 4-1 to keep the monument as it is. So in the desert peaks, there's the history of the Jornada Mogollón people. It's the Piro Mansotigua people, the Apache, the Spanish. And in fact, Doña Ana was first the Mexican colony settled by the Mexican state of Chihuahua. So this history goes back 2,000 years or more. I think it's just really disappointing that the congressman and others don't think that this history is worth protecting because it's just as important as our other history here. And as Shorty and others can attest, the dozens or so of spectacular archaeological sites or even more that exist out there are definitely worth protecting. In fact, I run a local youth group here where we take folks out to these areas, young kids, that teach them to be proud of this history. And so to our community, our Hispanic community here in Las Cruces, the Desert Peaks area are incredibly important, and it's a reason why they should be protected.
Okay, thank you, Gabe from Las Cruces, for calling in. I also wanted to talk to Will in Tijeras. Will, you're on the air. Hi, Will. What did you want to say this morning?
Yes, ma'am. Just a second.
Okay.
Trying to get off my speakerphone. Well, I can't. All right, okay. Real quickly then. Congressman Pierce is... comment about jobs. I think the potential for tourism far is beyond the business aspirations of the ranching industry, but it's sort of stretched out into the future. And I think there's a hesitation among the conservatives to look far into the future and to look more to the present. And the meme of that it's a federal land grab, the federal is the government, which represents all of us, and the grab, if there's such a thing, would be from certain rather smallish private industries, except that the Republicans typically are protecting the larger industries, mining, drilling, large corporations, and so forth. So heaven knows if the monument is diminished in size, what will show up. The earlier mentioned that, you know, a restaurant here, a chain restaurant there, a chain store there that's close to the monument are just, to me, sacrilegious. I believe that maintaining the monument the way it goes is what sets us apart from the rest of the world, that America has huge amounts of space and no place else does in the Western world, and we should protect it voraciously and physically.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Will, for calling this morning. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. We'll be right back.
Is your car or truck overheating or just getting you hot under the collar lately? Do the cool thing. Donate it to KUNM. We tow away unwanted cars and trucks every day all over New Mexico and beyond. We prepare it for sale and take care of everything from there. KUNM gets the proceeds, and you get the stress relief, the tax deduction, a KUNM membership, and the satisfaction of helping a great cause. Call 888-KUNM-CAR, 888-586-6227.
Whether it's politics, Native culture, or entertainment, the news stories that impact Native communities are what you hear on Native America Calling. Join us as we bring you the nation's first and only electronic talking circle, Native America Calling, from Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Weekday mornings at 11 on KUNM.
It's the KUNM Call-In Show. We're talking about national monuments, two in New Mexico. The Rio Grande del Norte and the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks are on a list of 27 monuments under review per an executive order by President Donald Trump. Our state is struggling right now economically. Can we afford to limit uses on large chunks of land? Can we balance environmental concerns and economic interests? You can still call us at 877-899-5866 or email callinshow@kunm.org. Ben Gabriel with Friends of the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks. There was a study by Headwaters Economics showing that communities surrounding national monuments tend to grow. However, as we've seen with news reports around the Escalante Monument in Utah, there are some winners and losers in this calculation. Some things grow, but some things don't because some ranchers were displaced there. Some things didn't happen, like mining. So is that part of the disconnect you're talking about? There's growth. Cowan's group, the cattle growers, are worried about displacement. Where's the truth and lie in the middle of this?
Well, I mean, I think first off, you know, we have, I believe, about 63 leases that exist on our national monument. So I think that's separate from the hundreds that were mentioned earlier. But, you know, I think that, again, it goes back to there is a planning process that we as a community can engage in that will address these concerns, because there is a great opportunity for commercial growth. We've also seen companies like Southwest Expeditions start to form. But, you know, specifically in Escalante, you're seeing tourism grow in that area. And you're seeing new lodges being built on both sides of that national monument. And so, you know, it takes time, but in Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks, again, we need, in New Mexico, we need to diversify our economy. We cannot rely strictly on oil and gas for our state in the future. And so Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks improves the quality of life for the people in our region, and it will attract businesses for people that want to live near protected places like our national monument.
Karen, I think there's still the management plan. Tell me if I'm wrong, Ben. I think it's not out yet, so there's still opportunities for public input on the management plan?
Absolutely.
Okay.
If they get us one, there will be opportunity at that. But, you know, as you've seen from your call-ins, you know, these folks are well-organized. And, you know, they beat the same drum. There's a lot of things that we do agree with. I think that we do need a balanced economy. I don't think that we need that we can rely on tourism in the future as being the only thing that supports things. I mean, do we all really want to be food servers and bed makers and tour guides? There has to be balance in everything that we do. And that's our concern, or one of our concerns, is that we haven't seen balance in how this is approached. We're outnumbered. We totally admit that. But we've been the caretakers of the land all this time. It wouldn't be here to be, you know, to be argued about, if you will, had ranchers not been on the land. And to totally discount what our aspirations are, you know, it's disappointing that we can't have a real discussion about this without, you know, discounting someone else's value or making it a racial issue. New Mexico has a rich culture of tri-cultures. Our association has, you know, a rich culture of that in it, within our association. And I, you know, it's these kind of things that we've heard this morning that are so disappointing about having a real discussion and figuring out so that there aren't winners and losers, but there's balance in the economy, there's balance in all we do.
Rafael from Isleta del Sur Pueblo, do you want to respond to that? Because why talk about the history of your people as caretakers of the land and what you'd like to see in the management plan?
Well, in the management plan, I'd like to see all these sites protected. And I do believe there's still opportunities to talk to the ranchers and actually sit down and let's get together and do what's best. But if their sites would have the picture griffs or that should be priority to be protected.
Okay. Well, Rafael Shorty Gomez and Ben Gabriel, thank you so much for joining us this morning to talk about the Oregon Mountains Desert Peak National Monument. This is the KUNM call-in show. You can still call us at 877-899-5866. And right now, we're joined by Esther Garcia. She was the mayor of Cuesta when the Rio Grande del Norte National Monument was created. She's also a member of the San Antonio de Rio Colorado Land Grant. Esther, thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Megan.
So traditionally, land-grant communities have not been in favor of the federal government taking over more land, because in the past, this meant members can't get access for things like hunting and grazing and gathering wood. Why did your members support the creation of the Rio Grande del Norte Monument?
Our land grant, the board, we sat down and decided that it was in our best interest to have a voice in what was going to happen. It was proposed as a conservation area. Then they decided that it wasn't moving through Congress as a conservation area. So that's when things changed. But our land grant decided that we wanted to have a voice. We wanted to make sure that our cultural and historical issues were protected, our interests were protected with our grazing, our hunting, our fishing, our pinon gathering, our wood gathering, herb gathering, that all those traditional uses were protected. And so we decided that we have to be the voice of the people in this area, in Cuesta or Taos County. And so we had a lot of support from the people in our area because we wanted to make sure that our land was protected. My grandfather used to tell me, they're not making any more land, so what you have, you need to protect. And I believe that, you know, we talk about conservation, but our ancestors were conservationists. They knew how to work the land. They knew how to, when they grazed, they knew how to move their cattle around or their sheep so that the land was, that it produced what it needed to produce, and they knew how to take care of the land. So I, you know, our people here wanted to make sure that we had a protection for the National Monument. Excuse me, where the National Monument is.
How did you ensure how did you ensure the federal government would do this in a way that would still give land grant heirs access to this land for all their traditional uses?
Well, what we did is I called Washington, D.C. I called Senator Bingaman's office, the former senator, and I said, you know, that a land grant goes through that conservation area that's being proposed. And within 3 days, they had some people here from D.C., and we sat down and we said, this is what we want to protect. This is what we want. And so we basically really drafted the bill that was proposed. And it was just a matter of having that conversation. And that we wanted a seat at the table every time that management decisions were going to be made in this land, that we wanted that voice. And we did get that. We got a seat at the table. I can tell you that with BLM, which most of the land sits in, Arturo Archuleta from the Land Grant Council sat in with me, and we had a seat at the table when BLM was making mismanagement decisions for the monument. So I think we got the people here got what we wanted. We wanted a seat at the table because if you look at it, land grants are going to tell you those are our common lands that we no longer have control of them. The federal government does. But I think that as myself personally, as a land grant heir, I feel that we have to have a voice in our own common land. And if we don't sit at the table and we don't have those conversations and discussions about how this land is managed and the uses that our people have been used to using, whether it's the wood gathering, because in northern New Mexico, in my little community, people depend on the wood gathering. That's their survival. And or their grazing. We didn't lose any grazing permits.
Okay.
The permittees are still able to graze.
Okay. We are at the call-in show, and you still have a little bit of time to call. It's 877-899-5866. We did have a caller. Unfortunately, he hung up. Trevor, I'm going to guess he had what he wanted to talk about was ranching versus weekend warriors. I'm not quite sure what he was going to say, but Karen... I thought I'd throw that to you just on the off chance that he was perhaps saying, making a distinction between people who want to come hike for a weekend versus folks like your members and Esther's land grant members who want to, you know, live on this land and make a living off it.
I guess I'm not sure where the question is.
Well, unfortunately he hung up before we could get to him.
Yeah.
But so should we take into account the folks who are living on the land, making a living on the land, versus others who might just visit?
I don't think there's a versus.
Okay.
I think that there's the we need the balance mm-hmm. that's there. It can't be all one or it can't be all the other. We as a people live on this land. And we as a people work on this land, and we as a people appreciate this land and have worked to conserve it over generations.
When you were listening to Esther talking about how her community went about making sure the things they needed on the land could be preserved, I mean, is that something that rings a bell for you, or is you could take a page from what they did?
Our members and I think we're talking about two totally different animals here.
I know.
With the Del Norte and the Oregon Mountains, and I apologize for, there should be a good acronym for both of them, and there's just not.
I'm sure the government will come up with one soon. They're good at that.
At some point. But the Del Norte, as we discussed in preparing for the show, our members felt like they were heard, apparently. We had a couple of members call that were deeply concerned. But as Esther pointed out, folks sat at the table and they figured it out and they worked it out. That hasn't been the same in the Oregon Mountains. We don't have policy on Del Norte, to be honest. I mean, we're concerned that if these land exchanges have to occur, that people are able to maintain their ranching operations, however that works. The Doñana County situation is completely different. And, you know, we've had people come to the association, ask for policy, ask for support, and we've given that. I mean, we don't go look for a problem, if you will. When our members come to us and say, this is a problem, we need help, that's when we begin to address it.
I have a quick email comment from a listener. The people of this country own the national monuments, not private for-profit entities. My husband and I have as our bucket list visiting as many national monuments and parks as we can. We went to Black Canyon of the Gunnison, Colorado National Monument, Great Sand Dunes last fall. We plan to go to Bears Ears, Bryce Canyon, Zion this fall. As New Mexicans, we visit on a regular basis monuments and parks in New Mexico. Chaco Canyon needs to be protected, as do the newly designated areas of Rio Grande del Norte and Oregon Mountains. This is how we spend our retirement income. I also want to go to a caller. I believe it might be Jeff Steinborn. I only have his first name. State Senator from Doñana County. Are you there?
I am.
Is this Jeff Steinborn?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Yes, thanks for putting me on. I'm really...
Okay. You have to do it real quick, Ms. Senator. I apologize, but we don't have much time, so...
Oh, I'm just really disappointed that the congressman continues to kind of misrepresent this issue and not really adequately represent the views of the citizens of Doñana County. The citizens in this county have been working for well over a decade to protect the lands, continued to have the support of the county commission, the city council, numerous groups, and ranching, of course, continues in the National Monument and continues in every Bureau of Land Management National Monument in the country. So the protection scheme is really a win-win for everybody. And, there are no losers other than maybe those that would like to see development or mining occur in our public lands. But it's a huge win for the whole county and the residents, and that's why I think Ben alluded to the recent polling that shows that almost 70% of the residents strongly support the monument. Only 16% have a negative view of it.
Okay.
That's why over 300 people turned out. So the county strongly supports this, and we hope that Secretary Zinke and the president will listen to local residents.
We don't know when Secretary Zinke will be here, but unfortunately we are out of time. And I want to thank everyone who joined us today to talk about the future of national monuments in New Mexico nationally. Michael Kasaus of the Wilderness Society, Karen Cowan of the Cattle Growers New Mexico, U.S. Representative Steve Pierce, Ben Gabriel with Friends of the Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks, Esther Garcia from the San Antonio de Rio Colorado Land Grant, and Rafael Shorty Gomez, who's Leta del Sur Pueblo. Continue the conversation with us on Twitter. Our handle is at KUNM News. You can also share your comments on the KUNM call-in show page at KUNM.org. And we have a lot of links and resources there as well. Our engineer today was Marino Spencer. Sarah Trujillo answered your calls. Ed Williams is our producer today. Marisa DeMarco live tweeted the show. Elaine Baumgartel is our executive producer. Thanks for joining us. I'm Megan Kamrick, and this is KUNM.